We're here with Mike McPhee, an incumbent, one of three candidates for two city council seats in Beaufort. And I'm David Lauderdale with Brian Talley, our editor, and Rick Bundred, our projects editor. What is your, you've been two terms?
Two terms. This is my third term.
And why do you want to do that? What is your main message?
In my entire time on council, the reason for my wanting to run on council was to make changes, of course. And of course, when I got into council, you recognize how little change you can make in a very small period of time, obviously. My entire business career has been in Beaufort, and I've wanted to continue to give back to the community. I don't really consider it a political service as much as I do public service. The city is very important to me, and being involved in it and moving it forward, trying to grow it, was an important part for me. When I graduated from college, it was difficult for me to find and keep a job and stay in Beaufort. We had traveled a lot because of my father's naval career, and I didn't have the same interest that a lot of my friends did to bolt from the community and find, you know, the livelihood. I wanted to stay in the community I loved, and it was hard to find a job or to keep a job without creating your own job, basically. And I've recognized that through my career, that the need for diversified economic base and so forth was an important part of my interest in wanting to get on council. And it's a slow process, there's no question. And the critics will say that some of our direction hasn't been the most guided direction, but we see fruits of those labors coming about, so we're pleased with the activity and the actions that we've made over the time. But it's a long process, and because of that, I want to continue to work with it and stay with it, and at least for one more term, give it my all.
Well, if can you speak to whether the city is financially well managed and financially sound, measures that you use are accurate measures, the Moody's?
Well, Moody and Standard & Poor's, of course, they have given us very high ratings as far as our credit bond rating. From a solvency level and from a sustainability level, the city of Beaufort gains regular certified accounting financial reporting excellence awards. We are very, very conservative. We maintain very high balances as far as reserve balances, and our debt ratios are well within state limits guidelines. From the standpoint of our CAFR reports and the accounting analysis between Beaufort County, the municipalities around us, we regularly rate higher or as high as any of our sister communities do as far as our accounting practices and our sustainability and viability. And for the last 7 years, we've received the CAFR Excellence Awards, and we certainly would not be doing that if we were being poor managers of our money.
Where do you stand on the does the city seems to have been in recent years looking for new sources of revenue, a fee for cars and whatnot? Where do you stand on the
vehicle tax?
Well, I was going to ask about the taxing of nonprofits.
There is a need within the city to expand revenue sources always. I don't think any city or any municipality has a flush standpoint without taking on local option sales taxes or other opportunities from the standpoint of revenue base. In a very small city, and you know, less than 15,000 is our population, we geographically are limited between the locations that we have in our growth boundaries and what Act 388 and the local government fund puts on us with reference to our restrictions. So we always are looking for expansions on our revenue base. There's no question. And municipal association in cooperation with the state legislature has pushed for the annexation of donut holes within our areas, which from our commercial base is a great opportunity for us to be able to expand that annexation without taking on expensive residential annexation changes that we don't see as being very viable as far as annexation options are concerned. But the commercial options with the opportunities within our boundaries, specifically On Ladies Island and going out Highway 21 and 170, there are opportunities in our growth boundaries, which are the agreed upon areas between the county and the municipalities around us with reference to where we can grow. And we think those are good opportunities. It's the delivery of service are already passing by those properties, and it makes much more sense from the standpoint of expanding the revenue base. So I'm very much in favor of that. The taxing of nonprofits, I believe that from the standpoint of responsibilities within a community, there are areas whereby a nonprofit organizations should share in costs associated with services that are delivered to their properties. That being said, we certainly are not going after churches or nonprofit organizations, the Eloy Mawson areas, from the standpoint of the services that they provide for faith-based. We are looking at the revenue sources of companies that work for nonprofit organizations or services that they provide that are in competition with the private sector. We're looking at those opportunities where in their 990s from their federal taxation, they actually indicate additional incomes that they receive which are not excluded from their nonprofit status. Those are the areas that we think the nonprofits should be responsible for with reference to business licenses and those kinds of things.
If they're operating for profit,
absolutely,
operations within their nonprofit structure,
absolutely,
including the profit side, should be subject to some kind of tax.
We do. We feel like if they are competing with the private sector and they are under the guise of an umbrella of a nonprofit organization, that they are not exempt, and specifically if they're not exempt from 990 on their 990 from that income. And in many organizations, they are not exempt because they are actually generating a profit from that side of their business, or they're actually consulting or hiring contractors to come in and do a part of their business for them. And those business entities that are working within the city are not paying a business license because they're under the umbrella of the nonprofit organization. And that by looking at that more carefully, we're protecting our own private sector businesses that may be competing businesses with those businesses as well. And we feel like that's important with reference to keeping the economic viability in our marketplace sound.
Well, do you think there are other fees that might come up? Fees.
As you can see from our past year, we're not very pro on fees. Staff has suggested a number of times implementation of fees to cover specific services, and we have asked them to tighten their belts with reference to doing that. We would rather increase revenue sources to the point that we do not have to look to those. I will tell you that if we do any fees, they would be specific to a specific cost center. Stormwater, roads, bridges, whatever responsibilities, which fortunately we don't own any bridges, but from the standpoint of those specific cost structures, they would be designed only for those and not for general budget fill, if you will.
What's your take on the SCEMG tax or fee? David Taub is making a big part of his platform.
If I can illuminate for just one moment with reference to what the NSSF is, we have a non-service standard agreement with SCEMG with reference to providing services that are non-standard services, meaning most for us it's undergrounding wiring. That's what we want the NSF for, which David was mayor when this was penned, so I mean I know he's very familiar with it. And the NSS gives us the opportunity to put a portion of franchise fees which are charged to customers in a holding bank to be used for non-standard services, which, as I say, in our cases, are doing underground wiring. The franchise fee that is charged at 5% now, the opportunity within the guidelines of what the franchise fee allows them to do is at the time when we were doing the undergrounding for Boundary Street, the city of Beaufort budgeted for our 50% share of the cost of undergrounding the wiring. The cost estimates were done by our contractors and the service providing industry that did the budget for our project. SCEMG came back and said it was going to cost them this much and that their 50% share would be X amount. And in order to make that money up, the 2% franchise fee was added to the 5% franchise fee. The 40% increase is on the franchise fee, not on the electric bills, which has been has been indicated. But so the franchise fee will increase citywide from 5% to 7%. And council did make a decision, rather than increasing the 7% fully on just the property owners along the expanded roadways, which would have the buried lines and so forth, that it would be citywide, because we consider the Boundary Street Plan to be a gateway plan and a citywide project. And we did not feel like the property owners along that route should be individually, specifically, burdened with all of the cost associated with it. The idea of taking the NSS that we already have accumulated or already have set forth in the franchise fee and utilizing that for SCNG was not beneficial for the city. And the reason that is because we already have, we have a very comprehensive investment plan as far as our capital is concerned. And part of that included money from that franchise fee to be able to look at undergrounding lines in other neighborhoods within the city. Some of those accumulated funds were already set aside in our CIP for that. If we had taken that money to use for SCNG, not only would it have locked us in for 7 years, which is what they expect to be the payoff sunset for the additional franchise fee, but it would have eliminated our ability to be able to use any of that money for those projects. Basically, we would have been funding SCNG's undergrounding of their side of their undergrounding, because those franchise fees were already set aside for other uses. So this idea that we had $900,000+ that we could have used and not increased fees is not realistic. We would have always had to increase fees, because unless you know otherwise, SCNG doesn't give you anything from the standpoint of just saying, oh yeah, look, just give us your fees and we'll pay for it ourselves. It's never happened. And if it does happen, and if he is able to make it happen, I would be so happy to have that money, but I don't see it. And I don't understand from the sections of the franchise fee where he believes it, especially knowing that he's very familiar with it. So.
Well, how about using TIF money?
We are using TIF money as part of the contingencies for the parallel roads and the expansion to make the project more inclusive with reference to the project in total. And we certainly could have used TIF monies for that, although I don't believe that we would have had enough for the time frame that we have, because the TIF is expiring in the Boundary Street Plan. It was designed for a certain time frame, and it will be sunsetting before the 7 years or the time frame that would have generated enough money. And likewise, in looking at the CIP and what we've done under a long-term plan, we've already identified areas that if there is money after the Boundary Street Plan that we would like to do green lawn corridor improvements and other improvements along that corridor, which make much more sense to use that money in that district as compared to utilizing money that SCNG should have been contributing to the project all along.
Mm-hmm.
No criticism on SCNG, of course. Sorry.
Did the city have a reserve for what you ended up needing for the hurricane, or what did the city, what did the hurricane do to the city?
Typically, from a standpoint of our fund reserves, we maintain a fund reserve for about 5 months if we were not operating at all, if we had no income coming in and so forth. We have set aside reserves and have reserves that can be utilized for the Matthew recovery. We have high efficiencies as far as our staff is concerned. I have to give them huge kudos. We have probably the best executive management team that we've ever had in my experience, and certainly that includes my time as executive director for the chamber and all of the business opportunities that I've had in front of city council. We have a superb team, and they were proactive. They had planned for the potential of issues that would occur, both from natural disasters and other contingencies that we have to look at. We actually have a disaster plan, which all of the council and all of the staff go through a training session so that they know exactly what their job descriptions are with reference to response and coming back into the area and that sort of thing. And I think we were very well prepared, and I think we have budgeted for appropriate amounts. Now, we do want the FEMA money, don't get me wrong. We want as much money as we possibly can get, and fortunately, in cooperation with the county, we're having a good response as far as the cleanup is concerned. And we've already had one wave in most of the city.
Yeah. Last night on the news, Chatham County crying foul because they were denied. Chatham
really?
County.
Private?
Yeah.
For private?
FEMA. For the FEMA.
Oh,
help.
For the FEMA.
Yeah.
That's surprising me.
Do you think the city is doing too much in trying to do economic development, or not enough. And you've invested in a park, an industrial park, and now a new computer-driven...
The digital quarter.
Digital quarter building downtown, mm-hmm. and some people in there. And I know that hadn't had a chance to start up yet, really. But
it hasn't, but we've had extremely good response, even in the early stages of our fit for that. But let me back up just a little bit from the standpoint of doing enough. I mean, unfortunately, we have decades of not having done enough, I think, and that's not just the city, but the county and the surrounding municipalities. That there is a mindset in this community, and I cannot tell you where it comes from, because it's not inherent to the progression that is typically found in most county residents. But we don't really have, for years and years, we've not really had a vision as to what industry or growth and development or economic development really means. The county, the economic network, our alliances that we've had over the last 20 years, simply, you know, there seemed to be this huge protective guard that you don't really want to make any changes. You want to keep things basically the way they are. And tourism, and from our standpoint, the military, the government, and tourism are our two biggest industries. And there's no other diversity to speak of. You deal with levels of hospitality and accommodations that come off of our tourism, and we've expanded those and grown those, and really we feel very efficient in the growth that we've seen in those areas. But in our government, we have the military bases and so forth, and they draw huge amounts of money into our community, which give us a very strong financial base. But we have nothing else. If you don't work for the government, or you don't work for the hospitality industry, which are service-related industry valued more than top-level paying jobs, or if you don't work for the hospital or the education field, those are virtually our highest employers in the area. And we feel the need that more company-based, either not necessarily in the form of manufacturing, that it always gets such a bad, you know, it's a black eye every time you talk about manufacturing, but because of the ability of technology and the digital corridors that we've seen grow in other areas, it's a clean, effective, very valuable tool to have within your marketplace. It is very mobile. People can live and work from the areas. It gives a lot of flexibility with reference to what younger people are looking for in the current marketplace as far as jobs are concerned. And so our focus has been, and what we've been trying to do over the last 5 or 6 years, between TWEAK, which was the alliance between the university and technical college and the city, to bring transitioning military from leaving the area, finding ways to retrain them or to keep their skills into areas that they could potentially still live in our marketplace and work in the areas around us, like Boeing and Gulfstream and offshoot companies that we're seeing grow up in those areas because of those companies. So we initiated TWEAK to try to encourage those people to stay in our marketplace and keep those younger people in there. And we've had successes. They've had some transitioning military that have stayed in the area and have found jobs and are working in either consulting industries and otherwise. But the opportunity with the Charleston Digital Corridor to come and actually create a venue in our marketplace was probably one of our first true inroads to trying to move into that technologically advanced field of younger employments and entrepreneurial and innovative businesses. And so we were very excited to partner with Charleston Digital Corridor. We think it's a perfect partnership. The building that we bought on 500 Carteret Street had multiple potentials for us. It currently has a tenant in it. I mean, it has tenants in it. So it's not a completely dead issue as far as valuation is concerned. But we had the bank that had previously been in there had left the back part of it, so there was a larger portion of it that could be renovated and redone. And when we purchased the building, there were additional land and parking that helped alleviate some of our parking congestion that we have in the downtown area by encouraging a very inexpensive form of parking for employees in the downtown area that, through our task force, we recognized was one of the bigger issues in the downtown parking area, was that employees were filling spaces where actual shoppers needed to be, and diners and so forth. So we moved more of those and made available opportunities for them to get very inexpensive parking in that location, which is not a hard walk from Bay Street or from the downtown area as well. So that sort of, there were two edges to that sword. And with the opportunity associated with the digital corridor, we were pleased to have Ernst and the group from Charleston come down and really talk with us about what they had done and what experiences they had had with economic development and the growth in the Charleston market. And the fact that they had people working in their corridor that were interested in being out of the Charleston market and in smaller areas where their children could be in smaller schools and be in a local marketplace where they could walk to and from work, and all of those things that you see in the new urbanism that is what everybody in the millennials are looking for. So we really jumped on it with the opportunity that it would do it. And fortunately, in cooperation with Municipal Association and with Hargray, we have actually granted everything from the standpoint of the outfits to the building for the digital corridor. So the money that we set aside for doing that through our redevelopment commission in the city will now be available to even expand further and to look at other opportunities for us. So we're very, very pleased and think it's a very good step in the direction. And the Don Ryan Center is a partnership as well. And, you know, Bluffton has had great success with Don Ryan, and several of the businesses that are actually Beaufort-based went through the Don Ryan program. And two of them are friends of mine, and I know that they have speak very highly of the services that they were availed from the Don Ryan Center of Innovation. The benefit for this would be that the Small Business Development Center at the university and the mentor programs that we have through SCORE and so forth in the local marketplace don't have to go to Bluffton now. They can meet at the offices in the City Hall with the Don Ryan Innovation, and they have the opportunities to have the same exposure with that, the 30-mile difference to going back and forth. Mm-hmm. So we just feel like that's a partnership that is a great opportunity for people. Do we expect something to turn overnight? I mean, from the standpoint of the silver bullet, we do not. We didn't with the Commerce Park, and we don't with these. We're excited that there's been great traction on the digital corridor, initially with Hargray and Municipal Association stepping in and seeing that they think it's a very good program. But with that in mind, we optimistically look at possibly, through Don Ryan, having two or three innovation potentials, and then with the digital corridor in the next year or so, by having 3 to 5, even 7 new businesses starting up in the digital corridor. And we may have some that relocate from Charleston, which will be, you know, cream to what we're trying to do. But in that sense, we really feel like they're long-term gauged plans that we looked at with the idea that it would take time to turn things around. And slowly but surely, we see some benefits to that, and we're hoping that that's going to continue over the next. And I want to be there for it. That's part of it.
Are you in favor of the Beaufort County's sales tax, capital
sales tax? Once it sells the capital improvements, I am.
What does that mean to Beaufort?
Well, obviously, the projects that are earmarked for Beaufort are important to us. The parking garage is one of those. The improvements to the waterfront parks and our park systems were also another issue that, by everyone in Beaufort County, I think both north and south of the Broad, the waterfront park is considered the jewel of the downtown area. And we recognize that and expect that, like we experienced several years ago with the renovations at the waterfront park, it is not a project, it is not a civic investment that you can't keep up. We have built into our capital improvement plans, whether or not the once-in sales tax has passed, we have capital improvement projects that are geared for the waterfront park. We did an $8 million renovation on the park 4 years ago. We recognize that there are issues still in the park that we have to address, and we will continue to build in those capital improvement dollars as we need to, because we recognize it as being an important part of it. That being said, we'd love to get the 1 cent sales tax, because there's a large portion in there that would help us do some piling renovations beneath the shelf of the waterfront park. The waterfront park is actually a shelf, and there's fill only at the very part of where the old original shoreline was, and then there's actually a concrete shelf on piling, and it's filled with dirt, and that sits over the river. And so for about 126 feet or something, that's all over the river, over the water, and there are hundreds of piles in there. If you've ever seen the pictures of it, it's fascinating. But they put all these friction piles beneath it and built the shelf on top of it and then filled it with dirt and then did the landscaping and so forth. So the project itself, those piles over time fail, and you know they start deteriorating with tides and actions and all of the.
How about the parking? How does that fit in with the parking garage? How does that fit in with one that Dick Stewart's company is proposing?
Their plan on the property that they own in the corner of Port Republic and West Streets pretty much from the standpoint of their company description of the project, their intent is to expand their lodging facilities in that area as well, including two vacant lots that they would add about 120 additional guest rooms in addition to the cottage rooms that they already have with the Beaufort Inn to accommodate their property guests, the venue that they've just redone, which is part of Tabby Place, and then the employees that work in that area. So at one point there was a discussion of expanding the parking garage to accommodate some of the city's parking as well. Unfortunately, the height restrictions in the historic district limit it from being a certain height. And with the numbers that they were willing to increase it would have pushed it up another story, which would have required major variances as far as the Historic District Review Board and so forth, which we didn't see as being an optimum for either them or us at that point.
So is there another place? Is there a place for another?
We have a parking consultant, and given the fact that if they move forward with their private plans, they will eliminate some of the parking issues that we have in the downtown area, because many of those staffers and guests will then not be in those spaces, but be in the private spaces. So the consultants have indicated to us that our parking structure could be significantly less large than what we had planned originally, which would give us opportunities on a number of parcels of property close by the downtown core that could accommodate that. So, but that being said, we are committed to parking resolve. We do have a consultant of our own that is looking at what's the best option and the best opportunities for us. And should the 1 cent sales tax pass, then they will look more directly at properties. Whether we would build a parking garage at the 500 Carteret location is probably not the most optimum location. I mean, even the task force didn't feel like it was the best location, being three blocks from Bay Street as compared to being something within a block to two blocks from Bay Street, which is about the max. People don't like walking very far, it appears, but...
What have we not talked about that's very important to you? What separates you?
There are so many things, David. I can't.
Well, you got it now.
Redevelopment and repopulation in the city. The infill redevelopment that we worked so hard on through our comprehensive master plan and through our civic master plan. The city of Beaufort's population has stayed stagnant, which is amazing in this county when you consider the population growth that we've all experienced in the last 10 and 15, 20 years. But the city of Beaufort has basically stayed the same. The area around us, and you know, we consider ourselves a city of 15,000 serving the greater 65. How many times have you heard us all say that? But because everybody considers Beaufort to be their hometown. And so it's important to us, even though they're not part of our tax base, that they are part of the contribution to our taxes and our business licenses. And it is their hometown. So that is an important part of what we look at. But the downtown areas, and we have a number of neighborhoods. Mossy Oaks is a great... residential neighborhood that grew up in the 50s and 60s. At one point, half of it was in the town of Port Royal and half of it was in the city of Beaufort, and over the 1960s annexations, most of the subdivision of Mossy Oaks and Waddell Gardens became part of the city of Beaufort's. That area, there's a lot of aging out in that neighborhood. There's a lot of blight. There are downturns as far as... maintenance and upkeep in those areas. The Northwest Quadrant, which is famous in both for a cultural specific area from the city of Beaufort's history, but the neighborhood itself has gone through many, many years of injections of stabilizing funds, neighborhood grants, and so forth. We've spent millions in the neighborhoods to try to undergird some of the problems that we've seen in that area. And some has worked and some have not. And, you know, we are really looking at trying to do some very stringent infill regeneration, rejuvenation in those areas to try to bring back some of the neighborhood. And when you're dealing with a historic district and a conservation district, which is what the Northwest Quadrant is specifically, you've got regulations with reference to what can be built and what is appropriate as far as infill development is concerned. And part of our civic master plan is to address the conservation easement area, the conservation areas of the Northwest Quadrant, and said that it is more appropriate that staff be able to look at the regulations required in approving properties and renovations and permits in those areas. We recently have initiated some incentive programs within the Duke Street corridor, which is one of the areas that we received Village Renaissance money for and did renovations on, coming off of up to Bladen Street all the way to Charles Street. And we've done on-street parking and underground wiring and lighting and new sidewalks and new, whole new roadways. And Beaufort Jasper, in partnership with us, has put in new water and sewer systems in those areas and really upgraded the infrastructure of those that neighborhood, which is in the center of this sort of blighted neighborhood of the Northwest Quadrant. And so for that reason, we put incentives on there to reduce fees for anybody who wants to do improvements and renovations on properties in that area, as well as new construction. And Beaufort Jasper is partnering with us, and we're actually waiving the lateral fees for water and sewer in the area so that people that have vacant lots in those areas, which is about 40% of that street alone are vacant lots, that they may take the opportunity now to build and get a very reduced cost in getting started or getting off the ground with reference to their cost of building. And we want to move that throughout the district, going east and west as we can, with the continued and support through Beaufort Jasper Water and Sewer Authority have indicated that they would be willing to continue this if the project is successful, and so far it's been very well received. So for a year's period, we're offering these reductions in this street, and then we'll move it to other streets in there. But the catalyst we're hoping is to get the private sector to come in and partner with us from the standpoint of really recognizing that we see this as being the way to rebuild the population and regrow the population in the city of Beaufort. And because they're walking neighborhoods, they're a perfect segue from the standpoint of the new urbanism and all of those things that everybody wants in the standpoint of neighborhood.
Well, Mike, I'm going to have to close it. We're at our 30 minutes, but thank you very much. So.